Name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Around the turn of the 20th century, the only way you could get between Europe and the United States was by ocean liner. And although these large ships could be very nicely appointed for the first-class customers, for the most part, these ships were very utilitarian. And their purpose was to get people from point A to point B. But commercial air travel changed everything. Suddenly, a trip that used to take 6 days by ship would now take only 6 hours by plane. The ocean liner industry quickly began to crumble as fewer and fewer people were willing to endure such a long voyage across the Atlantic. And then someone had an idea. They knew that people would no longer pay money for a ship to get them from one place to another, but perhaps people would pay for the voyage itself. Ocean liner companies quickly began retrofitting their ships with all of the latest amenities and numerous entertainment options, and thus the cruise industry was born. Today, thousands of people every year plunk down their hard-earned cash to take a cruise that actually begins and ends in the exact same place. You see, the point is no longer the destination. The point is no longer to get from one place to another. With so many things on board these ships to keep vacationers entertained, from climbing walls to swimming pools to all-you-can-eat buffets and rock concerts, the voyage itself is now the destination. Now, some might say that the church in the United States has taken a similar trajectory. It used to be that a point of the church was to use worship as a vehicle to get people from point A, which is essentially being consumed with our own self-interest, to point B, a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God where we can worship Him and give Him glory. But over the past 40 years, the church has struggled to attract new members, and so many parishes have looked for ways to bring people in. And one of the unintended consequences of this shift is that for many churches, worship has become an end in itself rather than a means to an end. You see, worship has now become something that we no longer do for God, but rather it's a product that we consume for our own benefit. Our worship of God has become about us, about accommodating our own individual preferences and doing things exactly the way we want them to be done. We started to see the church as nothing more than a trip to Cold Stone Creamery, where we tell them exactly what we'd like, they mix it all together, put it in a cup, and present it to us for our own individual consumption. And we look at the entertainment culture in the church today, and it's easy for us as Anglicans to poo-poo that, but as Anglicans, we are not immune from any of this. We just focus on different things. For us, it can so easily become about the liturgy, about doing things the proper way, which in all my life in the Anglican church, I've discovered that the proper way to do things is whatever way my last church did it. That is the proper way. And what happens when we do this is we lose sight of the reason that we're doing all of these things in the first place. In our reading from Romans chapter 12, Paul gives us some wonderful insight into the purpose of worship, and I'd like to take a bit more closer look at that today. Now, the primary purpose of worship, of course, is to glorify God. According to theologian J.I. Packer, to worship God is to recognize His worth or worthiness, to look Godward, and to acknowledge in all appropriate ways the value of what we see. Paul begins Romans chapter 12 by saying, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, the whole idea behind a sacrifice is that we give up something of value in order to assign that value to someone or something else. If we look at 2 Samuel chapter 24, this is right at the end of 2 Samuel, and the Lord has put a plague upon Israel for something that David has done, and David has finally sort of worked out this bargain with the Lord, and the angel of destruction stops the plague. And so in thanksgiving, David wants to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And so he buys all of the things that he needs for the sacrifice from Araunah. Now, Araunah actually offers to give all of these things to David free of charge. And that sounds like a pretty good deal for David, but David refuses to accept it for free. And he says to Araunah, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." David knew that offering a sacrifice to God that came at absolutely no cost to himself would be worthless. And that's actually the opposite of worship. Too often, I think we approach worship in order to get something simply for ourselves. There's a story of a woman who once approached her pastor at the end of a Sunday morning service, and she said to him, "Well, Pastor, I'm very disappointed today." The pastor says, "Well, what's wrong?" She says, "Well, you know, I just didn't get anything out of worship today." The pastor responded by saying, "Well, that's okay. We weren't worshiping you." You know, we laugh at that, but I think so many of us, that's where we are in our thinking, and we need to shift the way we think about what worship is. Worship is not primarily about receiving something for ourselves, making ourselves feel good or happy, but rather it's about giving something to God. When Paul calls on us to be living sacrifices, he means that we are to give our whole selves to the Lord in our worship. There's nothing that we can offer God that is of more value than our own lives. So when we worship, how much value do we give to God? Is church and worship a priority for us, or is it something that maybe we fit into our schedule when it's convenient? What have you given up in order to be here and worship God today? If we assign little worth to our worship, we will in turn assign little worth to God Himself. On the other hand, when we take our worship seriously, when we make a commitment to be at church every Sunday, when we take time every day to say our prayers and to read Holy Scripture, we actually assign worth to the one that we worship. Now, although glorifying God is certainly the primary purpose of worship, that doesn't mean that there's not any benefit to the individual worshipers. Paul tells us that worship actually serves to transform us. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." When we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God, it changes who we are fundamentally. Many of you may remember from a number of years ago something that was called the Ice Bucket Challenge. If you don't remember it, it was a fundraiser for the ALS Association that challenged people to dump a bucket of ice water on their heads and donate $10 to the association. And if a person refused to accept the challenge, he or she then had to donate $100. And while this approach was certainly very unique, it's not altogether new. After all, people have been walking 5Ks, running marathons, doing triathlons for years to raise money to fight diseases like leukemia, MS, and diabetes. But why do we do that? Wouldn't it be so much easier to just donate the money to a cause and be done with it? Well, that certainly would be easier. But studies have actually shown that when we do some sort of physical act for a cause, it produces in the individual a higher commitment to that cause. Because of the Ice Bucket Challenge, people who had never even heard of ALS before started to get involved. They learned more about the disease. They even volunteered to help people who suffered from it and help their families. That simple act of dumping a bucket of ice water on their heads transformed their minds into caring about a particular cause. And worship does that same thing for us. When we come together and publicly assign worth to God, it changes our perspective. Worship takes us out of the center of the universe, which is where we want to put ourselves, and it puts God there instead. And the more we do it, the more this new attitude becomes a part of our own nature. Political scientists David Campbell and Robert Putnam did a 5-year study on the differences between religious people and atheists. And one of the things they discovered was that people who regularly attend worship services are actually more likely to volunteer to help others and to give to charity than people who are atheists. Campbell and Putnam claimed that this finding is the result of a neighborliness that is fostered among people who worship together, but I tend to think it goes much deeper than that. It's because people who worship together are transformed by the love of God, and that transformation serves to change their focus and their behavior. Now, finally, worship is not only for God, it's not only for the individual, but it's also intended for the edification of the body of Christ, the church. Paul says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." There's a communal aspect to our worship, and this is certainly by design. Part of what it means to be created in the image of God is that we are, in our very nature, social creatures. Just as God has relationship with himself within the triune nature of the Godhead, so too do our souls cry out for relationship with God and relationship with one another. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't worship God when we're alone, but it does mean that we can't worship God only when we're alone. We've all seen God's majesty when we're on a hike or in the darkness of our rooms, but there's something special about worshiping God together with other Christians. When we sing praises and say prayers in unison with our brothers and sisters, we can feel our own praises being lifted even higher on the wings of the prayers of others. One of the things I've always loved about Anglicanism is that our worship is not meant to be a spectator sport. Paul calls on all Christians to be involved in the life of the body, and that means being involved in the worship life as much as anything. And we all have something that we're called to contribute. Now, some people read from Holy Scripture while others lead us in singing and in prayers. Members of the altar guild prepare the altar beforehand and they clean up afterwards. Even people in the congregation contribute by their responses, their prayers, their singing, and even their giving. You see, this is not a show. We are not actors up on a stage. There are no performances here. We all contribute to the worship of the church. As someone said at our vestry meeting a few months ago, on this ship, there are no passengers, only crew. The body of Christ is edified and built up as a result of our common worship. And through it, we are drawn closer not only to each other, but to God as well. We need to constantly remind ourselves that worship is not a product to be consumed, but rather it is a passion to be lived out. And no matter how beautiful the liturgy is, no matter how wonderful the music is, no matter how brilliant the sermon is, if these things are not glorifying to God, if these things are not moving us from the profane and into deeper communion with God and with one another, then we've completely missed the point of what we're doing. Our worship is not a duty, something that we must do, like taking out the trash or doing the dishes. Our worship is a gift. It is a gift that we offer up to God, and it is a gift that God offers back to us. It is a gift which we give through the sacrifice of our own lives. It is a gift we receive when our minds are transformed by the worship of God. And it is a gift that we share with those who worship with us. Ultimately, our worship is a gift that draws us into closer relationship with God and helps us to fulfill our ultimate purpose in life. Amen.